Welcome back to the Word for Life broadcast this morning, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church. I'm Pastor Ken Keltner, Senior Pastor at Brookside, and let me invite you to come and join with us at Brookside. If you don't have a church home that you're presently attending, we would love to greet you and meet you and be able to see what we can do to help you continue to grow in your spiritual life. Thankful for Pastor Greg and his ministry with our Word for Life. He is on vacation, and we look forward to him coming back. And we've had the opportunity to have our family home. We're kind of all over the globe, so we thought we'd bring the boys in here. I have four boys, Kyle, Kevin, Keith, and Kurt. We kept it all K's. In fact, our dog's name was Kaiser. And Kathy and Ken Keltner are thankful for the family God's given to us. And so we are looking forward to continuing our discussion with the boys today with what God's been doing in their life. They're in ministry or presently training for ministry. And we kind of left off with you, Kurt, talking about your military training, and then also you're a sophomore at Bible college. You were sharing with us a little bit about opportunities you've had there in the military. They know there's a difference in your talk and your language, and really for a Christian, that's how it should be. So for those going to work this morning who would say, man, you don't know, Ken, what kind of ungodly environment I work in, what a great opportunity you have to be a light in a dark place. And unfortunately, our military, we've continued to just take God out of everything, whether it's a school, our country, our military. And those that are believers, hey, may the light shine brighter. You know, share a little bit more of what God's been doing there with you with that, Kurt.
Yes. Right now, I'm just being in the reserves, so I get the best of both worlds. I get to be in school at a Bible college and then also a soldier. And they carry over a lot. You know, I've learned a lot from unsaved leadership in the Army that can transition into leadership spiritually. And I just get to be immersed at school with godly influences, with coaches, professors, faculty and staff, and even I have a great roommate. And so then from there, it's almost like recharging for the next time I have some training. And I just get to be a light to those guys.
Give us a scenario of a guy there in your military training who came to know Christ.
Well, definitely in basic training and stuff, you get real lonely and your AIT, your advanced individual training. And you make some great friends there because, I mean, you're all going through pretty rough times. And I just had a good friend that really asked me a lot of questions about it, and he went to church once in a while, and he actually came to my bunk one night and told me that he prayed and accepted Christ. And, you know, from there, I just try to stay in contact with him the best I can and just seeing how he's doing. He's trying to go to church and stuff, so it's definitely great and encouraging to see other believers.
All right, Kevin, you got a question?
Yeah, I was just wondering about, especially when you were going through boot camp and the initial training, I got to think that it was tough being in that environment to continue to be developing your relationship with the Lord and just to see that grow and be vibrant. How were you able to kind of see that happen?
Definitely, you know, always being around a Christian home and then at a Bible college a year before going in, you know, it's easy to get complacent with your own personal time with God. You know, I'm going to Bible class, so I'll be fine today. You know, that just transitions to a month without even being in the Word alone with the Lord. And so I'm in basic training, and they give you no time to even read the Bible. So you're like, man, I really wish I had some time to spend with the Lord. So it was definitely eye-opening and definitely helps me not get complacent spiritually when I'm surrounded by Christians and stuff.
Tell us a little bit about what your major, this cross-cultural ministry is. I know one thing, you've gone on a lot of mission trips in your life. I mean, has that played a big role in wanting to have a cross-cultural ministry as a major?
Yes, sir, definitely. You know, I love being in the Army. It's a great experience. I learn a lot that I wouldn't learn at college. You know, I would love to have that as my ministry for a while or until the Lord decides. But I mean, also, I'd love to be a missionary, you know, in another country. And I definitely see some of the training from Bible college, definitely, and then also the Army that helps transition. I major in business and minor in intercultural studies so that, you know, if I became a missionary, I'd have some training in business, you know, maybe being a tent maker in another country.
Yeah, several missionaries have to raise money to set up a business to actually be in another country. You've taken a lot of mission trips. What trips have stood out to you, and how has God used that in some of your trips?
Definitely all of them might come away with something, but one trip, I loved being in Nigeria and Kenya, and then also in Palau in the Pacific. I mean, they're completely different cultures, but you go to serve in those countries, but actually it's like a two-way street with ministry. You know, they encourage you with what little they have and that they're still doing it. I remember one boy in Kenya only had one track, and that's what he would share the gospel with all his friends. You know, he didn't even have a Bible. He just used one track to reach a bunch of his friends.
Was that one of the boys that was in the slums then? Or?
Yeah, he lived in the slums. His name was Johnny, and, you know, he had all the clothes that he owned on his back right there. So I was able to give him a few T-shirts, and he thought that was a great blessing, but really, like, he was a great blessing to me in return.
I think I remember Johnny, because when you gave those shirts to him, I mean, it actually brought tears to my eyes, because he had such a joy for the Lord, and then to get some clothes on top of that, I remember he knew that they would steal them if he left them out, so he put all of his shirts on at one time. He had like 8 or 9 shirts on, and he left pretty excited with that. But yeah, you're right. What a great, great opportunity. You guys have been on several mission trips. I mean, what are some aspects that you've seen on some of these trips and how God's used it in your life?
We were talking earlier about how there's just a complacency and how Satan uses that as one of his attacks on believers here. But when you go overseas somewhere, you often see Satan use different methods, and you kind of get more of a realization that the war is real, that there's a spiritual warfare going on, and souls are at stake, and you see all kinds of different ploys and attacks that the devil uses through fear or superstition, and it's just eye-opening when you see that.
And he is, if you're a child of God, he is your enemy. We always want to look at people maybe being our enemy, but no, Satan is our enemy. And he definitely wants believers to be complacent, so he can distract us. And that seems to be a distraction. And I think, Kyle, you were talking a little bit about that time that you've seen in your own opportunity of ministry, the distractions that take place.
Yeah, I think just with the American culture, we have become kings of just distraction and consumerism. And there's so much that you can spend your money on and spend your time on that aren't necessarily bad things, but they can distract you from something that is very important and something that we are called to do. And I think, yeah, going on missions trips, it opens your eyes and it kind of ignites a passion into you about the people that you see, the things that they have, the things that they really don't have, but yet they are content with. Really opens your eyes to all the things that we are privileged by, all the things that we have, and yet we still want more. And I think throughout Thanksgiving and especially Black Friday, just the American society just shown about consumerism and wanting more and never being satisfied. And I think mission trips always bring just a vision of much more to life than just getting the new and best thing.
Mm-hmm. But also, you know, there seems to be a push today with, let's have compassion on people overseas because they need shoes, they need clothes, they need a well dug. And I'm all about, let's help take care of their physical needs. But I see where we're missing it today is a little bit on their spiritual need, that we don't give the gospel. And I would hope that you guys have seen opportunities when you go on these mission trips that bleeds over into your life, even your daily life. And, you know, I heard Don Beebe, who played for the Buffalo Bills and won a Super Bowl with the Packers. He had a great expression. He said, I want to live my life with my head on a swivel right now, looking for opportunities for the gospel. And would you say that those trips also helped you really have a burden for the lost?
Yeah, especially you see people that are really dying without any hope of a future. And
eternally.
Eternally, yes. Yeah. And, you know, it definitely opens your eyes. I mean, I think it's great and rewarding when you give someone a pair of shoes and things like that, but I think it's even much more rewarding when you are able to lead someone to Christ and lead someone to understand the glory and the person of Jesus and just what he means to you, but also what he can mean to them as well.
You know, and the Bible says that all of heaven breaks forth in joy and praise when one soul comes to Christ. Keith, what's on your mind with that?
I was gonna say, I think that really ties back to even your heart and your passion of even how you raise us. Maybe you can share with some people a couple things that you and Mom really decided early on that you wanted to train us in. as you were raising four hooligans.
Well, you guys were all active guys. I'll tell you that. Someone says, well, were they like all boys? We were all boys. I can't remember how many people we had to take you guys to at one time or another to go make things right with something that happened, whether it was a Sunday school teacher or somebody in the church. As I look back, I would say passion for the gospel. And God had to do a work in your mom and dad's life with that. That, you know, it's one thing to talk the talk. And, I mean, I was probably very, very guilty of that. Or, well, I'll go out and witness or pass out a tract, but then the pressure's off. And not really looking at witnessing being a total joy and opportunity that angels in heaven would love to have, but God gives us that particular mission. And so we would just have people over the house that needed the gospel, and we'd explain that to you guys, and we'd be praying about it. And so I think that was a huge key, that right where we live, may God give us opportunities. And I think the other aspect was we prayed for God to bring people into your lives that would challenge you to walk with the Lord, to serve the Lord, to live for Him. You know, because moms and dads can say a lot, but man, when you have other people who are leaders in your lives come along and they say the same thing and they live it out. You know, and I think one, you know, that you guys would talk about would be Josh Beers, who, you know, has been a mentor to you as you've been in college. Another one would probably be Nate Amack, who teaches and works with our college age here at Brookside. And Bob McMichael, another fellow there at the college that, you know, I mean, when you find people that disciple you, I mean, that is an answer to prayer for your mom and I. I mean, that's what we have been praying for. And then get you on mission trips has been a key. Kevin?
Well, I got to think you spent some time on your knees raising four boys.
Well, and I'm still on my knees because I've always told you guys, Satan would love to knock you guys off, because when he can knock you off, then it knocks off dad and mom with their passion and their focus for what God's doing. And I tell folks, we're anything but a perfect family. I mean, I told one family, hey, we're real people. You know, there are arguments and there are problems that break out with us. And you know, a lot of times you walk into church and that's how Satan wants you to think. He wants you to think you're the only one that has problems. And trust me, pastors have problems with their kids. And you better believe it keeps us on our knees, and it still keeps us on our knees. And for those who have children and grown kids even, I trust that they're on their knees. Well, guys, we've loved having you with us, and I hope the broadcasts have been a help to some folks and been an encouragement. Thank you so much for tuning in for the Word for Life broadcast brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church. And come by and see us. We'd love to be a help and encouragement to you. Have a wonderful day.